We're happy to welcome in Gary Tangway of NBC Sports Boston. Hello there, Gary.
Hey, folks. What's going on, Richie? How are you?
Doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Well, I hope so. We're glad to hear that. You've been very public about this a couple of months ago now, I think it was, that you announced that you had been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and you're undergoing treatment. And have you been through, what, two treatments now?
I'm going to be third tomorrow. Actually, I've undergone three. My fourth will be tomorrow at Dana-Farber, but everything's going great.
You look good, and I told you this in a message. I could not pull it off without the hair, but that dome of yours was, I think, made to look this way.
Rich, it has shocked the world because one of the things that I've had in life was my hair, and it used to really irritate all my friends, all my fraternity buddies. You all know from the good old days, because they're all gray and losing it, and mine was just perfection, if you don't mind me saying. And then, you know, my oncologist, Eric, at Dana-Farber was like, yeah, dude, you're going to lose it. I was like, oh. And just the vanity kicked in. So my son, who has my sense of humor, there's this app, and you know there's an app for everything. You take your picture, and then you shows you as if you were bald. So we were all having dinner one night, and, you know, the Tangway family treats things with humor. And so I said, all right, what am I going to look like bald? Because it was thinning. And we all looked at it and we went, oh my God, that's not good. That is not good. My 7-year-old was like, no, you got to get a hat. My wife was like, yeah, well, just remember it's temporary, honey. And then, so it happened and I found myself shedding like a flipping lab, you know, where it's like, it's all over the house. And I'm like, oh my God. Cause I was hanging on. I was like, I'm hanging on as long as I can. And sure enough, it had to come off. So my son says to me, he goes, Dad, I'm not going to lie. He goes, not as ugly as I thought.
That's so, support right there.
So it's been kind of crazy. So yeah, I mean, it'll definitely grow back in the fall, but I've received a lot of backhanded compliments, you know, like, geez, we thought this was going to really look like hell, but not bad.
Gotta love that out there. And you've posted a lot of it. You've been getting a lot of folks sending in some lids, some caps for you to wear. Some people, one area of your life, Gary Tangway, they're not coming through. And let's say it, the University of Maine, your alma mater, has not come up big yet.
Well, I'm wondering, Rich, man. I mean, you're a big guy up there. You're a big fish up there. So I was wondering if you put some pressure on him. Or maybe, you know, Hale or somebody, because I got to get a Maine hat. And I mean, come on, I've got UNH. I got Harvard hockey. I mean, all these people are sending me hats. The first hat I got was from UNH and the basketball team up there. They're great. And so I've got about like 10 or 15 hats still to post. So I'm kind of, you know, just doing it like every once a week or something. But come on, Bears. What's going on? Look, I gave you guys a lot of money in parking tickets. The least you can do is send me a hat.
Really, if you just added up the value of those parking tickets you paid, I assume you paid them, then maybe a couple of nice hats would be in order.
Well, you have to get your degree, remember, Rich?
Oh, that's right.
Some guys.
That's right.
You get the degree, you got to pay those parking tickets. Damn. So, yeah.
Gary,
can I get a plug-in real quick?
Please do, yes.
You know, obviously, Dana-Farber, you know, we push that, and people from all over the world, and I'm sure there are many people in Bangor and, you know, in Eastern Maine that have gone to Dana-Farber, and they're just amazing. And a good friend of ours, Kevin O'Connor, who writes for The Ringer, he started with us as an intern, and he's just a brilliant writer. And his dad has a really tough battle at Dana-Farber. And he started dunkoncancer.com, and he's raised close to $75,000. And it's you can pledge so much a dunk in the finals, or you can just make a straight pledge. But this kid is one of the young, great NBA writers. And we're very proud that he started here. But his dad wrote this unbelievable article on theringer.com about he and his dad and how Celtics was such a big part of his life. I mean, if you read it, you will be in tears by the second paragraph. And so that's what I'm kind of doing right now is dunkoncancer.com. If I can, and I don't, it's weird about asking for money because everybody asks for money. But, you know, I'll just throw it out there. And I know a lot of people don't have a lot, and you do what you can, but that's the way to go. So I got to give this kid a plug.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk about what's going on in the Boston sports scene. I mean, you haven't stopped working. You're back there on NBC Sports Boston. Let's start with the Red Sox. Got out of town with a win last night at Yankee Stadium. But is there cause for concern, or is this a team that's just too good not to right the ship sometime soon?
Up until lately, they're going to right the ship, and it'll at least be a wild card. And I thought that if they can just get into the postseason. But I think that Dombrowski really left this team hanging without dealing with the bullpen. And Price was great last night, you know. And I think it's just a shame that Chris Sale does not have a better record. And, you know, when you're talking about Michael Chavis, and it's a nice story, but when he's your lead story for the defending World Series champions, you got problems. So I think that other people need to come up bigger. But I think, he didn't address the bullpen, and it's really coming back to bite him. Where I had this huge argument, you know, Eovaldi I thought should be a closer. I thought he should be in the bullpen. He's never been a great starter. I thought they paid him all this money, and I argue with John Tomasi all the time, our Red Sox guy. I go, well, Eovaldi wants to start. I don't care what he wants to do. You know, I really don't care. But I don't know if he can address it at the trade deadline, but that's really the Achilles heel. And I think we just kind of thought, well, you know, they'll catch lightning in a bottle. And so I'm concerned.
Where do they go? I mean, they're not going to go get Craig Kimbrell at this point.
No, that's not going to happen. But that's the problem, Rich, is where do they go? So I don't know if they can fix it. You know, that's why, you know, I would look at Eovaldi back there. I mean, they seem to want to start the guy. I that's a great question. I don't know. And I don't think they do either. So at the trade deadline, you know, you just might have to try to bring in some guys and some different Hammond Eggers that just, you know, see if they catch lightning in a bottle, quite frankly, you know, which is what happened last year.
Another team that may be at a crossroads, the Boston Celtics, after a hugely disappointing season. What's going to happen? Does Kyrie stay? Does Horford stay? Which way do they go?
Well, Horford wants to stay, and he's willing to renegotiate. The problem is he may be, if he renegotiates and he has a good deal, he may be very attractive in a trade to make the deal work. With Kyrie, he's not going to sign with the Lakers. I've been told that it's not going to happen. Brooklyn is the biggest threat. Because now Durant, you know, he wants to go to New York, and I don't think he wants to go to the Knicks. But if Kyrie and Durant go to Brooklyn, I think that the Celtics are going to have a hard time keeping him. However, remember, Kyrie still makes more money if he stays with the Celtics, and a lot more money. And I don't know if his ego is big enough to simply say so long to that cash and go play in Brooklyn with Durant. I hope not, because I still think you need him to compete for a championship, and I still think you need to trade for Anthony Davis. And I know that is Danny Ainge's plan. That he's not gonna shy away from that plan. You know, all this stuff with Kyrie. Kyrie had four horrible games. But Kyrie's not the only problem on this team. Everybody acts like a child. Everybody. And Brad Stevens, you know, it was a big challenge for Brad. He admitted he didn't do a good job. And that's why I think you need to bring in a guy like Kendrick Perkins, who was really the policeman of the locker room when they won the OA championship. Everybody thinks it's Garnett. It was not Garnett. It was Kendrick Perkins. He kept that locker room in line. He was the one guy that could even go to Paul Pierce and say, you know, Pete, second half, we need you tonight. Brad can't do that. They need that type of guy in the locker room to tell these kids, like, just grow up. I mean, really? You're going to be mad, T. Rose, because Kyrie Irving is getting more playing time than you? You haven't done anything. Come on. So I think that's still a plan. If that doesn't go down and Kyrie leaves, then I think you stick with the kids.
Is it that Kyrie doesn't want to be a leader, or is he just not cut out for that role?
Well, I don't think he's cut out for it, but I don't think it's simply on him. I think it was also on Brad, and I like Brad Stevens a lot, and he admitted it. He didn't know. He knew from training camp they were going to have problems. He goes, we're not as good as we think we are. And, yes, Kyrie, he's never going to be that guy. I mean, he's just a strange dude. And he's an ego guy, but you know, other than those four games in Milwaukee, the kid can play. And he tried to get other people involved, but, you know, people were looking to him. And I thought that, well, you know something, you know, Tatum, you've been around. You had a great, you know, what do you need him for? You had a great run in the playoffs last year. Same thing with Jaylen Brown going on his fourth year. You had a great run last year. You know, Rozier's been there longer than any of those two guys. And what, you're blaming this all on Kyrie? I mean, come on. Go out there and play team basketball. Look at the way the flippant Toronto Raptors and Golden State Warriors pass the ball. I mean, my God, it's not brain surgery. And, you know, the Celtics just didn't do that. Whether they were relying on Kyrie too much or whether Kyrie got too greedy, but it just didn't work. And I blame the entire team, not just Kyrie. This leadership thing, I mean, they're all grown men. I'm sorry. You know, and they acted like kids. They were, like, Jaylen Brown was mad because he lost playing time to Gordon Hayward, and, you know, Hayward was lacked a lot of self-confidence, and Brad just couldn't keep it together. I mean, that team needed, you know what, that team needed a combination of a high school principal and a psychiatrist. That's what that team needed.
Is there anything that will get you to watch the Bruins tonight?
You know, I know. Here's my thing with hockey. I'm not a hockey guy. Maybe it's because I bad childhood experience of double runners on the Andrew Scoggin River. But, you know, the fat kid out there couldn't skate. Excuse me. And I'm not a regular season hockey guy. And the hockey people around here are just so sensitive, you know, because I love the NBA. And I think you can tell that with the way I talk about it. And I just don't get into hockey. But I'll watch the Bruins because they're a great story. And if the Celtics had, you know, quite frankly, the balls that this Bruins team had, their season would have been different. But yeah, I watch the Stanley Cup hockey. I'll definitely watch it. But regular season hockey, the difference is so big between the two, playoff and regular season. I can't get into it as much. But I love to bust the chops of the hockey people on Twitter because they get so pissed. Oh my God, it's a riot. They get so angry. You know, it's fun.
Well, Gary, you got people, I've told you this, you got people all over the state of Maine, all over New England, pulling for you. We hope the treatments continue to go well. Were you surprised at the level of response that you got when you told people about your diagnosis? Even people who have been screaming at you for a decade or more are pulling for you to get well. And I think the big thing is they want you to be around for another 30 or 40 years so they continue to give you a hard time.
Oh, there's no question, Rich. I was flabbergasted. I really was taken aback by the amount of emotional support and people I heard from. Unbelievable. It was really overwhelming. And also from other survivors, things are going very well for me, knock on wood. And, you know, just other people that, just sports fans that said, hey, you know, I had this 20 years ago. Hey, I was at Dana Farber 15 years ago. Hey, I was here, you know, hang in there. And, you know, just... my insurance agent had it and I never even knew it. You know, he calls me up, he goes, you're going to be fine. Dana Farber's great. I mean, all that stuff was wonderful. And people that, Twitter is like, you can't be thick skinned. It's like sitting in a bar room with five of your friends who like to treat each other like jerks. You know, I mean, that's really what it is. But I was overwhelmed by the numbers. And then, I said something wrong. I think I forgot to leave Julian Edelman out of a list one night because I was working with Curran and Curran had mentioned him and I didn't put him on my list. And sure enough, man, it all got back to normal. I was like, you moron. And I loved it. It was like, thank God.
They're still there. They'll be with you. And when you kick this thing's ass, they're going to beat you even more and you'll love that.
Oh, I'll be ready, Rich. Thanks for everything.
Hey, Gary, good to hear things are going well. We're thinking of you up here. Thanks, as always, for coming on, and go Bruins tonight.
Okay, we'll see you guys. Right. Bye, Rich.
See you, Gary. Gary Tanguay, NBC Sports Boston, with us here on Downtown.